My dear brother, amen. And so we embarked upon this journey. I thought I was going to be able to cover all chapter one last time, but only got three verses. But I'm really hoping that we can cover the rest of chapter one tonight. If you remember, amen, just by way of recap, the book of Hebrews is a very special book in our New Testament. As we study all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the first 39 books, which are known as the Old Testament, amen, were specifically and exclusively written to Hebrews. They really were, amen. It was written for us and by us, amen. And so that's the way it was, because we were the only nation that God really was in relationship with, amen, in the Old Testament. And so the Old Testament was specifically written to us. But by the time we get to the New Testament, amen, the books are more for everybody, amen. And really more specific to the Gentiles, amen. We were mentioned as well because through Christ, amen, he had broke down the middle wall of partition and the two become one, amen. So anything written to the Gentiles concern us, amen. But the book of Hebrews goes back to this Old Testament, amen, style of God to address us specifically. And so, amen, I feel that it's very important in the day in which we live, especially as we are finding out our true identity, amen, to go to the only letter in the New Testament written to us. It's a letter from the Most High God. If you knew that God wrote you a letter, Miss Kent, you know what I'm saying? Exclusively for you. Why wouldn't you open it? Why wouldn't you read it? Why wouldn't you become a theologian in it? Amen. Because it's a book for us, saints. Hallelujah. It's a letter written to the Hebrews. Amen. Remember that the Hebrews suffered extreme persecution. They suffered at the hands of the Gentiles and, amen, the Hebrews who had not yet received Yahshua HaMashiach as their Messiah. Amen. And so a lot of them went through great turmoil and great trouble. And to be honest with you, because of that trouble, some of them recanted the faith. And if they didn't recant the faith, amen, others twisted the faith and changed it, amen, so that it could be more palatable to their Hebrew family members, amen. And so they added old covenant things to the new covenant, amen. And you got to watch the gospel, amen. The gospel is funny, amen. Like all the word of God, if you add anything to it, you done broke the gospel. If you take anything away from it, you done broke the gospel. When you add or take away from it, you have indeed perverted it, and you are preaching another gospel. Amen. That's the way the New Testament faith is. And so the book of Hebrews was written to these Hebrews who were experiencing, amen, extreme persecution, y'all. And they were under extreme pressure from their loved ones, from their own people. And that pressure was getting them to bend in what they believe. They was letting go of Christ, man. They was letting go of their Savior. And so the writer of Hebrews, amen, embarks upon this mission, this pastoral mission, to exhort these Hebrews to stick with the Son of God no matter what. To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in his word. No matter who talk about you. No matter what they say. No matter what they post on Facebook or no matter what they say on YouTube, amen. It's one thing that they could never take away from us. And that's our Savior, Yahshua, and what he did on Calvary's Hill. Anybody hearing me up in here? All right? And that's what the book of Hebrews, that's the premise. That's the thesis of the whole book. Don't let go of this new covenant. All right? Not only does he encourage us not to let it go, but he wants to tell us that the new covenant is actually better than the old covenant. All right? He's going into it. Amen. He's just telling us, listen, what you have is the best thing. You don't trade in, hallelujah, something that's the best for something that was, hallelujah, not as good. You'd be a fool to do it. Amen. That's why Paul in another place says, oh, foolish Galatians. Who had bewitched you, who put a spell on you, you see? And we don't know who was the actual writer of this letter to the Hebrews, amen, but it does not, amen, negate its authenticity, because it was a letter that goes back in history, having been circulated right on the side of Paul's letter. And Paul didn't have a problem with the letter going with his. The early church fathers like Clement and Origen did not have a problem with quoting from this letter to the Hebrews as though they were quoting from Colossians or Ephesians or Philippians. And so it is part of what we call the canon of Scripture. It's an authentic book. And it has in it so much of the Christology that we need. In fact, there's no book like it. There's no book like it that goes as deep into Christ and who he is in comparison to the old covenant like this book to the Hebrew saints. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to be a theologian in this thing. Some say Barnabas wrote it. Others say Philip. Some say Jude. Martin Luther, amen, the hallelujah father of the Protestant Reformation. He's the reason, one of the reasons we're here today in this church. He thought it was Apollos wrote this book because it had the eloquence of Apollos. And so we talked about that, saints. And so for this first message, we wanted to talk with you about the superiority of Yahshua Jesus. Say that with me, the superiority of Yahshua Jesus. That's right. And we went through, amen, just talking to you about, hallelujah, that the new covenant is better than the old covenant because we have a better messenger. We have a better messenger. And remember, amen, hallelujah, depending on how important your message is, hallelujah, say you got two messages. One super important, one not that important as the first one. Which one you going to send with your best messenger? Your best message. God had two messages, an old covenant and a new covenant. He picked Moses to send the old covenant. He picked Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, to bring the new covenant. Which covenant is better? Anybody hear me up in here, all right? Woo! The new is better because we got a better messenger. All right? And we said that Jesus was better than the prophets, Moses and all the other prophets, because he was the heir of all things. He is the heir of all things. He made the worlds. He is the express image of the Father. He purged us of our sins. And right now, currently, he's at the right hand of majesty. Right? Now, by the time we get to verses 4 through 14, the writer of Hebrews switches gears a little bit because he's been in this argument before with the Judaizers. Right? He's been with this. He's talked with them before. And having always beat them in the argument about who's greater, the prophets or Jesus, amen, he always beats them. Harvey, he always beats them. And they have to surrender. Okay. Jesus is greater than the prophets. We see that now. But they would come with a secondary argument. They would say this, Sabrina, they would say, yeah, all right, he's greater than Moses and the prophets, but you don't understand. The old covenant was just not brought in by Moses and the prophets, but the angels brought in the old covenant as well. The angels accompanied the ushering in of the old covenant. And if you do a survey of scripture just with your mind, amen, and just thinking about the old covenant and the old prophets, amen, you know that angels was all over the Old Testament. Whether you think about Moses, amen, and the angel in the form of a pillar of cloud, and the angel in the form of the pillar of fire that went with them, amen. You think about Balaam and Balak, how the angel was standing there with his sword, amen, when his donkey didn't want to go anymore. Angels accompanied the old covenant. Whether you're thinking about Elijah, amen, when he said, oh God, open my servant's eyes so he could see that there'd be more for us than against us. Rather, that was Elisha, you see. And they had a mountain full of chariots of fire and angels all over. You see? Angels all over the old covenant, whether it was Samson and his parents, amen, meeting the angel that would announce Samson's, prophesy about Samson, amen. Whether it was David, hallelujah, and God told him, amen, don't move until you hear the marching in the mulberry trees. Anybody feeling me up here? All right? Or whether, amen, during the battles with, hallelujah, the heathen nations around them. When God would send an angel, amen, to slay 165,000, amen, to keep the kingdom alive. Angels accompanied, y'all, the old covenant. It was all over. And it was their argument, Malvo. They'd say, oh, yeah. Okay, he's better than the prophets. But we got the angels on our side. And so in verse 4 through 14, the writer of Hebrews wants us to know that our Savior, our Messiah, our King, our Lord, our Healer, our Great Physician, our Provider, our Protector, amen, hallelujah, our Redeemer, amen, that He is not only better than the prophets, Hebrews, listen now, He is also better than the angels. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give Him some glory. This is so important, y'all. So important. Because we got a lot of people still to this day praying to angels. Still to this day calling upon angels. Still to this day with angels on them and stuff like that. And praying, amen, invoking the names of angels. When you understand that our Savior, our Mediator is greater than angels, you ain't going to never call on another angel a day in your life. You'll never call on another angel. Because you're calling on Michael, and Michael is saying, Kuyon, you need to call on Jesus. You need to call on Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Here we go, here we go. He is better than the angels. I'm going to give you several points just to show how better our Lord is. How better our Lord is than the angels. Point number one, He has a better name than them. He has a better name than them. Hallelujah. That's one of the songs that I love on the radio. Amen. What a beautiful name it is. Y'all know that song? What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Sometimes I wake up, amen, and I just hear that in my spirit. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to it. You see? And that's what the writer is saying. That He has a better name than them. And to corroborate this, we would have to look at Philippians chapter 2. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. Amen. But I just want to look at it. It's not too far. Going back to your left. Amen. After Galatians, Ephesians, you'd come to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And let's just start at verse 6. We want to get to the part when we talk about His name. The writer is telling us, God is telling us, that there is no angel, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, whatever side you want to go on, there is no angel with a name like the captain of our salvation. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Philippians 2, starting at verse 6, tells us why He has a great name. Why does He have a great name? Because He was in the form of God. And this means that in all practical purposes, being part of the Godhead, He is equal to God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons, but one divine essence. Amen. The Godhead. He's equal to God. All right? But being equal with God, thought it not robbery, amen, to be equal with God. And this is saying that, amen, He was equal with God. But the new translation says, amen, He gave up that equality. Amen. It was something that He didn't hold on to, that He didn't covet, that He didn't grab on to. And when the father says, son, you got to go down there and save Michelle and save Brandon, save Mark. He didn't hold on to his status as equal to God the Father. The Bible tells us in seminary, it tells us that He emptied Himself. He disrobed Himself of His royal privilege as being part of the Godhead. He lowered Himself. Oh, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. He lowered Himself. Humbled Himself. He condescended. Amen. Hallelujah. To come down and get us. In verse 7 it says, but He made Himself of what? Of no reputation. All right? And took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You see, He not only came down, amen, you see, because to come down would to be come down to an angel. He just didn't come down to an angel. All right? He came lower than an angel because man is made lower than angels. So He came down from God to the angels. But He came even lower than that. It's like Jesus was playing limbo. How low can you go? You understand what I'm saying? And so He come down to humanity, but He didn't go down just to humanity, because even as a human, He could have been a king, He could have been an emperor, He could have been a ruler in Rome, amen, hallelujah, but His kingdom was not of this world. That's what He was saying. He said, for that purpose was I born, but it's not right now. And so He comes down as a man, but He humbled Himself even lower than a man. He became a carpenter, a servant of a man, a man but with no reputation. You see? Michael Jordan was more popular than him. You see? You see? No reputation. And the Bible is going to tell us that his condescension didn't stop there. Amen. He lowered himself even lower than becoming a nameless carpenter. All right? Humbled himself and became, in verse 8, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Became a man, come all the way down. A nobody of a man. Spit in his face. Beaten. Spoke down upon. And he allowed himself to be killed. That's bringing it all the way down, Misha. He came from as high up as you can go and went down as far as you can go. Anybody hear me? Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. All right. But you got to understand the laws of the kingdom. Those that humble themselves, God will exalt. And there is always honor before humility. And you see, the devil, amen, don't know the laws of the kingdom as well as God know the laws of the kingdom. And God allowed himself, amen, hallelujah, in the form of Jesus to go all the way down because he knew as he was going down, humble himself, it was entitling him to be exalted later. So after he brought himself to the lowest place, verse 9 says, because he did that, wherefore, or therefore, God also had highly, what? Exalted him. He went the lowest, so he was exalted the highest. And given him a what? A name. Which is above what? Every name. Remember when we said in Hebrews, why he's greater than the angels? He's greater than the angels because, number one, he has a greater name than them. What a wonderful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. His name is lifted up higher than every name. I guarantee you that you can get on your knees tonight and you can say in the name of Michael and you can say in the name of Gabriel and you can say in the name of Lucifer, but hallelujah, it won't move heaven and earth like when you say in the name of Jesus. Listen to me now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, sickness goes. In the name of Jesus, doors open. In the name of Jesus, wombs give birth. In the name of Jesus, there's no name like it. The angels don't have a name like his. You see what I'm saying? And they say, hallelujah, the name is so high that, hallelujah, in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, look, every knee should bow. It's going to bow. Of the things where? In heaven. And the things where? In earth. And the things where else? Under the earth. Oh, God have mercy. That's the good angels, the bad angels, and everything in between. Every knee going to bow down. And going to bow, hallelujah, to his name. You hear that, Kev? They're going to just say his name in heaven. He ain't going to even have to be present. They're going to just say the name, and everybody going to have. He ain't got to be there. They're going to just say Jesus, and all the angels, everybody going to go down. At just the name. At the name. There's no angel that got a name like that. There's no man that got a name like that. There's no animal that got a name like that. There's no devil that has a name like that. He's better than the angels because he has a better name. Come on, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Back with me to Hebrews. Point number two, amen. Why is he better than the angels? Number two, because, hallelujah, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And the book of Hebrews is just letting us have it. It's going to bring out arguments that you knew and arguments that you didn't know, but he's going to throw everything at us but the kitchen sink. All right? And as we look at, amen, hallelujah, verse 5, he continues down. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The old covenant can't touch the new covenant because we have a better messenger. And our messenger is better than both prophets and angels. He is better than the angels because he has a better name than them. But he is also better than angels because he is the Son with a capital S of God. The writer of Hebrews asserts that Yahshua Jesus has a different relationship with the Father than the angels. And for that matter, any other created being, hallelujah, in creation, right? Now, for those who know their Bibles, amen, you got to understand that sometimes even the angels in the Old Testament were called the sons of God. But you got to look closely. They were called the sons of God with a small s, not a capital S. And that capital always means something. You see, there are many lords, small l, but there's one Lord, capital L. There's many kings, small k, but there's one King of Kings, capital K. And so we see just in that one letter, but that there is a difference between the son, capital S-O-N, and the sons, small S-O-N. And the difference is this. Yes, they called the sons of God. In Genesis chapter 6, they called the sons of God. When we look at Job chapters 1 and chapters 2, the Bible says, and the day came when the sons of God came to report unto the Most High, and Satan was amongst them. Yes, the angels are called the sons of God. It's true. But they are sons of God through creation and not relation. Oh, God, have mercy. Come on, somebody. Come on. You see, God as Abba, the source, amen, he is the creator. He is the source of everything. In him we live and move and have our being. And so since he created all things and nothing was not created without him, amen, you got to understand, since he is the creator of all things, he is the father of all things. Anybody hear me up in here? Father meaning source, amen? Father meaning source, right? So in one sense, in creation sense, he is the father of the angels. He is the creator of the angels. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But Jesus is not the Son of God through creation. He's the Son of God through relation. Are you with me so far? You see, because God can be your creator and you have no relationship with him. Oh, God have mercy. Anybody hear me up in here? There's a difference. Now, the greatest proof that I can give you of the difference that Jesus has, besides the capital S on Son, with the other angels, is John 3:16. John 3:16. As we look at John 3:16, Sound Buddha, if you can put that up. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now watch how he describes this son. He gave who? His only begotten son. Wait. Well, I thought the angels were sons too, but they're not sons like this. Because he only has one son like this. He is the only begotten of the Father through relationship, through bloodline, through family tree. Anybody hearing me up in here? Oh, God, have mercy up in here. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the son not through creation, but the son through relation. The beautiful thing about this is that when we accept the son, we can receive the same right and the same privilege of being sons and daughters of God. Isn't that good news, saints? Isn't that good news? Minister, he only has one begotten son. But when you believe in the son, the Bible tells us in John 1 and 12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he what? Power, exousia, right, privilege to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that what? That believe on his name. Listen, you could, give him glory. Give him glory, amen. He's the only begotten, amen. But when we receive him as our Savior, when we believe in his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his imminent return, amen. The Lord tells us, we just saw John 3:16, hallelujah, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We get saved. And when we get saved, Shalanda, he makes us daughters and sons of God as well. But as many as receive him, huh? How many people receive him as the Son of God? How many people receive him? Huh? Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. When you receive him, hey, God, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, when we receive him, we are no more strangers. But now we are fellow citizens. And we become part of the household of the Most High God. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4, God sent his son. Anybody hear me? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, amen, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. When we believe in Jesus, Yeshua Christ, we are adopted, and we become legal children of the Most High God. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can call him Father now, because we have been adopted as sons and daughters. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. He's greater than angels, y'all, because he is the only begotten son of God. Point number three. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They say they have a better covenant because the angels, hallelujah, accompanied the old covenant. But the writer of Hebrews, through the, hallelujah, move of the Holy Ghost, he says, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Oh, no. He has a greater and more a better name than the angel. He is the Son of God. But number three, we got to understand that the angels worship him. The angels worship him. You understand that? We have a better covenant because we have a better messenger. He's better than angels because when the angels see him, the angels bow down. You see? Pastor, how you know that? Well, I just look at my Bible and survey the scriptures and see how the angels react to him. Huh? I see how the angels react to him. Hallelujah. In Job 38, verse 7, remember, we said that Christ, as the Word of God, was the one who was actually doing the creating. Amen. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. And it comes down to tell us nothing was made without him. You see what I'm saying? So he's the hands of the Father making in creation. All right? So listen to me good. The Bible says in Job 38, 7, that when Yahshua was laying the foundation of the earth, the Bible tells us that, hallelujah, the sons of God and the morning stars, they sang. Amen. They sang. They was worshiping while the sun was creating. While they saw him pulling mountains out of the earth. While they saw him cutting valleys. Amen. While they saw him rolling streams. Amen. While they saw him making snow on this side and beaches on that side. While they saw him just getting his shine on. Amen. Putting the sun, stars, moon in the sky. They began to sing. The angels began to worship in creation. Not only did they worship him in creation, but we see that they worship him at his birth. Amen. Remember in Luke 2 when he was born? Hallelujah. When the angels came announced to the shepherds, they was trying to hold the rest of them back. Hallelujah. Today is born to you in Bethlehem a Savior who's Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says there appeared a multitude of heavenly hosts. Huh? And they were singing, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Huh? Glory to God in the highest. Peace unto all men. Amen. They sang when they saw him in creation. They sang when they saw him again in incarnation. Amen. Guess what else they did? Amen. And they're going to worship him when he come back to get his kingdom on earth. Anybody hear me up in here? This is the strongest piece of evidence of them worshiping him. This is Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14. Amen. If the angels were greater than him, let me tell you, they wouldn't worship him. You see? Because the greater is worshiped by the lesser, my friends. And in Revelation chapter 5, I need y'all to check that out with me. The Bible says in verse 11. Now, what's the context here, Pastor? The context, amen, is when they're looking around and can't nobody remove the seals to start judgment so that justice could come on the earth. And John said when he saw the scrolls and he saw the seals and he saw that not any of the creatures, neither angels nor men, nor any other creatures that were created were worthy to loosen the seals to start the justice and the judgment upon the earth. And how many people know that we need God's judgment upon the earth right now? Amen. And John said when he saw that nobody was worthy to loose the seals, John said he cried. He cried. He began to weep. And an angel came up to him and said, weep not, John, don't cry. Don't cry. Because no man can do it and none of us angels can do it. Listen, behold, the Lamb is worthy. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb is going to open up the seals thereof. He's going to stop the judgment. You see? And when they, hallelujah, see the Lamb coming, hallelujah. And John, Revelation chapter 5, hallelujah, verse 11, the Bible says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of who? Of many angels. Who worships him? The angels worship him. Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And that's a lot of thousands. And what did they say with a loud voice? The angels. They say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. What else? Riches. Wisdom? Wisdom. And what else? Strength. What else? Honor. What else? Glory. And what else? Blessing. That's worship to me, my friend. That worship. That's worship. That's worship. He's greater than the angels because the angels worship him. And the Bible says not only angels, but every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. And who else? And unto the Lamb forever and ever. Come on, give God some glory for that. Don't come here with that argument about the angels in the old covenant. Our messenger is greater than the angels. Because when the angels see him, they bow down and they worship him. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. The angels not only worship him, but the author of Hebrews is going to tell us that the angels also serve him. They serve him. And for this, amen, we have to look at verse 7. We just go on verse by verse. Line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. That's how good God's Bible is. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us, he says, after he talks about them worshiping the Lord. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. That's where we got that, hallelujah, third point from. Fourth point comes out of verse 7. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. And in new translations, amen, you'll see him say, hallelujah, that he make his angels, hallelujah, like the wind. And he make them like ministers, like servants, amen. And what he's trying to convey here in the Greek, amen, is that the angels serve the Lord. The angels serve the Godhead. And we know that the angels serve the Godhead, saints, because listen, when he was born, amen, they came and they announced his birth, amen. You know, when somebody great enters the room, amen, and the royal palaces in England, amen, they don't just walk in the room, amen. There's somebody who announces their presence. And before they come in, they say, we hear ye, hallelujah. It's like in court, John Mark, amen. Right before the judge would come in, they say, hear ye, hear ye. God save this court, hallelujah. And I forgot what it was because I ain't been in court for a long time. And so, hallelujah, they walk in, they say, all rise, amen, because it's an honor given. Because somebody great is coming on in. They do it, amen, in the royalty in England, amen, hallelujah. But they also do it to the Most High God. Whenever God enters a place, there is an announcement of his presence, amen. And that's why when Moses beheld his glory, there was an announcement of God when God came in, when Moses saw his backside. That's when we get the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord who forgiveth iniquity, the Lord who punishes to the third and fourth generation. But you see, and they're making, hallelujah, an announcement. The same announcement happened when the Son entered the world. The angels couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves, Dawana. They had to announce his presence. And I'm sure he was telling them he wanted to keep it on the cool, amen. But when somebody's so important, you just got to tell everybody that he's here. He's here. He's here, y'all. They had to tell the shepherds. They told everybody. That's why we get the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Woo! In the greater don't announce the lesser announces the greater. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, the angels, they serve him. How else do we know the angels serve him? In Matthew 4:11, after his temptation in the wilderness. Look what the Bible says, and the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and do what? And ministered unto him. My Lord, is there anything that you need? You had just been in spiritual warfare. We are here with you. I wish you would have let me jump in so I could have put that Lucifer back in the headlock, my Lord. But you told us to back up, that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. You told us that, so we backed up. But is there anything that you need, my Lord, after going through such warfare? They minister unto him, but not only here, amen, they came and they ministered to him in the garden. Hallelujah, when he was wrestling with the sins of the world, when he was sweating great drops as though it were blood, amen, and the weight of the world's sin was upon him, amen, and he was crying and he was praying, amen, if it be your will, Father, take this cup away from me, amen. He went through a great grief, and some theologians say, amen, that Garden of Gethsemane was a greater trial for Christ than even the cross, the asphyxiation itself, amen, because in that garden, amen, hallelujah, the separation from the Father was beginning, and the weight of sin was being placed upon him. And after a while that was going on, the Bible says, hallelujah, that angels came and they what? They strengthened him. They ministered to him. He's greater than the angels because they serve him. Let me keep on going. Amen. I also see evidence that he's greater than the angels when he's, hallelujah, about to be, he's betrayed. And he's about to be taken in. And Peter get gangster. Y'all remember that? Peter pull out his gat. Back in those days, he had a sword. And Peter chopped that boy ill. And I could look in here and I could see some Peters in here. I know y'all. Y'all ones that y'all quick. Y'all want swing on somebody. That's how Peter was. God can still use you. All right. But what he told, he said, come on, Peter, put up your sword here. Put up your sword. You know? Put up your sword. You know, I got this, you know. In another place, he tell him, he say, don't you know that right now I can call 12 legions of angels? Huh? I'm not talking about them little cute cupids you see on the toilet paper, no. I'm talking about the ones like Ezekiel saw. The ones Ezekiel say had skin of brass. The ones that look like Big Brother with wings. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I called, not 12 of them, no, 12 legions of them. Thousands of them. And one of them killed 165,000 men. I can call 12 legions. I can call thousands of them right now. And when I call them, they're going to come. Why could he say I can call them? Because they serve him. Remember when Joshua met him right before Joshua went in Jericho? We call that a pre-incarnation of Christ. It was an epiphany, a theophany. He met him. Right before Joshua was going into Jericho, Joshua met a man. And Joshua looked at the man and want to boot up on the man and say, who you for? You for Jericho or you for Israel? And I could just see the Lord look at Joshua and laugh. Who I'm for, but who you for? Who you for? And the Lord told Joshua on that day, as the commander and chief of the Lord's heavenly host, am I come. We get that Hebrew title for our Lord, Lord Sabaoth. That means the Lord of hosts. That means when the angels come down, he in front of them. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this, Miss Connie. Look. They announce his birth, all right? Hallelujah. We see him in the Old Testament. He's the Lord Sabaoth. Let's just think of scripture. Let's just open up the lexicon of our mind here. Not only were they there at his birth, they were there at his death. And when he rose from the grave and they came in to look for him, amen, he left some messengers there because that's the angel to him, a messenger. And they came in there and he said, I know who you seek. You seek the Lord. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Oh, God, have mercy. The angel ushered him into the tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, God, have mercy. Not only were they there at the resurrection, amen, they were there at the ascension. You remember in the book of Acts? After the Lord gave his final speech to the disciples, amen, he stepped on a cloud and he beat me up, Scott, amen. Like an escalator in Dillard's. You understand what I'm saying? He got out of that, and angels accompanied him. And the disciples there were standing there looking like, oh. The angel came, wiped the drool off his face. I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying? They're just looking up there. And the angel said, listen now, the same Jesus who you have seen go up shall in so like manner return. The same way. The same Jesus. The same way. You better go get to work and do what he told you to do. They accompany his birth, his resurrection, his ascension. He's the Lord Savior. And guess what? When he returned, guess who's going to come with him when he returns? And they're not just going to come with him. Remember when a great person show up, amen, the lesser is going to announce it? Well, the Bible tells us in Thessalonians that the Lord shall descend with a shout. With the voice of what? The archangel. The archangel, as he's descending, going to say, hear ye, hear ye. He's going to tell the dead, all rise. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Listen to me good now, y'all. He don't serve the angels serve him. You won't go deeper in time? You won't go deeper in time? Listen to me now. We know he don't serve the angels. The angels not only serve him, but the angels serve the people who he saved and who are under him. By the time we get to the end of Hebrews, he's going to say, amen, angels are ministers, are servants to the heirs of salvation. That's us, y'all. So if they serve us, what you think they do to him? Oh, let me go deeper. Y'all ready to go deeper? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he said, don't you know Christians was having problems amongst themselves? Couldn't even call a football game without being fair with one another. So we got to get refs now. You know what I'm saying? And so they was having problems going to court with one another because they couldn't be fair and righteous with one another. And Paul was tripping. Paul said, y'all got to go to the unbeliever to get justice between yourself. Y'all believers, man. Y'all the children of the Most High God. Know you not that you shall judge angel? Oh, God. Y'all can't judge between yourselves? Don't y'all know that y'all going to judge angels? Back to the premise, Cole. He greater than angels. How we know he greater than angels? Because the people that's under him going to judge the angels. Oh, God have mercy. Is that all? Y'all still here? Oh, yeah, his people. You see, because his people are seated in Christ in heavenly places. He's the head of the body, but even his feet are high. Oh, God, let's not digress. Come on, somebody, look. He's greater than angels because the angels serve him. Look, number five, all right? The Son has a throne. Hallelujah, the Son has a throne, all right? And this is good, amen, because, hallelujah, it proves he's greater than angels because no angel has a throne. No angel has a throne, all right? Hallelujah. Look at let's see, verse 8. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The writer of Hebrews is saying that God is talking about his Son and talking about the Son's throne, right? The Son has a throne. It's a forever throne. It's a righteous throne. He sits on a throne with a scepter in his hand. What's a scepter? It's a long kingly stick that rulers have. It's representational of sovereignty, of authority, of rulership. That's why Esther, amen, before she can come in and not die, amen, they had to extend the what? The scepter unto her. You see? It's a sign of authority and rulership. And the Bible is telling us that he not only has a throne, but he sits on his throne with a scepter, showing that all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You see? He has a throne. Now, Ephesians 1:20 talks about the throne of Christ. Ephesians 1:20. And I love this, amen, because remember, wherever he's seated, that's where I'm seated. And whatever he's over, that's what I'm over. Huh? In Ephesians 1 and 20, look what it tells us about Christ's throne, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him where? Where's his throne? At his own right hand. Where at? In the heavenly places. Now, he's at his right hand in heavenly places, but where is this place called heavenly places where his throne is? 21. It's where? Far above. Somebody say far above.
Far above.
What is it far above? All principalities, power, might, dominion. All right? Now, Pastor, what is all that principality, power, might, dominion? Well, if you take your Bible that's in your head and you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and what? And dominions. Paul is saying, oh God, that we don't fight against men and animals. We're fighting against angels. We're fighting against spiritual forces. And he calls these spiritual forces, these angels, principalities, powers, and rulers, and dominions. Now the Bible is telling us in Ephesians that Christ is far above what? Principalities, powers, might, and dominions. So he's far above the angels. He's far above Satan. He's far above all the minions of darkness. He is above, but not only above. He's what? Far above his throne. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than every single one of them. That's why he could defeat the enemy's kingdom all by himself. He could beat him all by himself. He didn't need the angels to do anything. He walked up to the devil's kingdom and tore it down by himself. Can you picture it, Harvey? He walked up to the gate and the devil looked over. He said, devil, come out of there. I got you surrounded. All by myself. You see? Because you think that's a carpenter. That ain't just a carpenter in there. That's the mighty God. That's the everlasting Father. That's the Prince of Peace. I got you surrounded, devil. Give up. You see? His throne. All right? Listen, number six. Don't get tired on me. Don't get tired on me. We studying theology here. This is going to be so such a blessing for you. Let me give you the sixth reason why he is greater than the angels. All right? The sixth reason is he is God. He is God. Now, a lot of people don't believe that Jesus is God. No, Jesus is God. Oh, he is God. All right? Now, let me show you where the writer of Hebrews says this. Now, check this out. This is crazy. This is absolutely out of control. And I'm telling you, verse 8, it's hard for me to even be able to enunciate what I'm about to say right here. Verse 8, but unto the Son, who's he? The Father. Unto the Son, the Father says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Wait. So the Father, who's God, is talking to the Son. And when the Father, who's God, talks to the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. Oh, wait. So the Father God calls the Son God, who called the Holy Spirit God. And if God calls somebody God, then they must be a... Gotta be God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. If God calls somebody God, then they are God. Oh, God have mercy. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but it came out. He's greater than the angels, for he is God. He's the one who has no beginning of days, nor end of years. He's the one, hallelujah, when they say, you ain't even 50, how you saw Abraham when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was happy to see me. When he saw me and the mother two boy with me, he said, I'll cook something up right quick. He was happy to see my day. Why? Huh? Because his creator had came. You see? And the boss said, boy, you ain't 50. He said, before Abraham was, I am that I am. And they pick up, they want to kill him. They say, blasphemy. Because they knew when he said, I am, they knew what he was saying. Their minds went back to Exodus. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? I am sent you. He said, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. You see? The Son is God. That throne, oh God, is forever. Yeah, he's greater than the angels because he's God, saints. You see? How can the old covenant be better than the new? Because, oh, the angels came and delivered. God came and delivered the New Testament. You see? Hallelujah. Not only is he God, amen, but number seven, he's greater than the angels because the Son is the anointed one. He's the anointed one. Hallelujah. We're going to try to wrap up as quick as we can. He's the anointed one. When we say the anointed one, amen, it is the Hebrew word Mashiach. It's where we get our word Messiah from. It's how we pronounce that, Yahshua HaMashiach, but it's Ach at the end. You see? HaMashiach. You see? It's the anointed one. In the Greek and in the English, the Latin, we call it the Christ. All right? But the real word from the Hebrew is Messiah. Okay? He's the anointed one. All right? What does this mean, Pastor, the anointed one? Well, the anointed one, amen, would be the person who would encompass the three major offices, amen, in the kingdom of God on earth. Amen? There are three major offices. Amen. You got the prophet, you got the king, and you got the priest. And in the Old Testament, those three offices, amen, were always assumed when God was in good relations, amen, with Israel, right? Very rarely you would see one person have two offices because it was always separate people. You had David, you had Nathan, amen. Then you had Abiathar, one of the mother priest boys, amen. It was three offices. The thing about those offices is that when somebody encompassed the office, they were always anointed. They would take all and put it on their head. When David was anointed, they took all, ram's horn, and they put it on David's head. When the priest, they was anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the oil, hallelujah, run down Aaron's beard all the way through his skirts. They were anointed, amen, with oil. And it wasn't the oil that was a big deal, no. It was what the oil represented. Because when we were anointing you, we were showing what God had done to you in the spirit. He had poured his Holy Spirit all over you. The Spirit of God had come upon David, just like it came upon Saul. And Saul, amen, after he was anointed, his heart had changed. He had become another man, Holy Ghost. The oil is the anointing, but it represents the Holy Ghost. The prophet was anointed with oil. The priest was anointed with oil. The king was anointed with oil. But throughout the Old Testament, God would prophesy that one would come that would be the most anointed than all. That the three offices would be combined into one. For Moses said, a prophet shall come like unto me. And him you better listen to. And if you don't listen to him, and when you check that in Deuteronomy, that prophet, it was a capital P, another prophet is coming like me, a lawgiver, a covenant giver. And those that don't listen to him shall die. A prophet. Huh? King David, the prophecy from the king. David, one going to sit on your throne out of your loins, whose kingdom shall be forever. God said, I'm going to call him my son. The prophet, the king, the priest. Huh? The priest. The Levitical priesthood would not last forever. But there was another priesthood in the Old Testament that we're going to talk about when we come. It was the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And to be a part of that priesthood, amen, like Melchizedek, you could not have beginning of days or end of years. For even his name, Melchizedek, means king of righteousness. And where he was from, Salem, means king of peace. Oh, God, there's only one king of righteousness. There's only one king of peace. And that's my Savior, my Lord, Jesus, Yahshua, the Christ. A great king would come, a great priest would come, and a great prophet would come, all wrapped in one. He would not be a anointed. He would be the anointed. Messiah. And that's who they waited on. And he showed up. And he showed up. You see, this son is greater than the angels because he is the anointed one. And it's not that he's anointed with oil that makes a big deal. No, 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 no. Don't look at the oil. Look at what the oil represents. You see, because this anointed one would have the spirit without measure. This anointed one would have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily. This anointed could walk on water. This anointed could stop storms. This anointed can heal, stretch out arms. This anointed one, would be the greatest king because he would rule forever in holiness and justice. The greatest prophet because he would bring a word without no taint, no sin, no self. The very word of God. He always does what pleases the Father. And he would be the greatest priest because he would be the sacrifice. He would lay down his life. He wouldn't be a priest to go buy a sacrifice. He would be the sacrifice and he would die for all of our sins. Oh, man, oh, man. Yeshua HaMashiach. Greater than the angels because of the fullness of the Spirit of God that was upon him. You see, because greater is he who is within us, who works within the world. He was greater because of the Spirit and the anointing. Listen, we almost done. Y'all still up out there? Y'all still up? Amen. It's a lot of theology here, but it's so good to know who we're talking about. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, Jesus says, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Help me lift up the name of our Lord. Help me, somebody. Help me. Help me. You see, because if we know who he is, we would never confuse him with a man that's walking on earth. We'll never say that some man down the street who's been married 5-6 times, drink on the cool, smoke a little herb. We would never say that he. When you know him, you know that he's holy, harmless, and undefiled. You know that he's already visited earth. And this same Jesus that visited the first time is going to come back again. So when they start talking about day the Lord, let me see some ID. That's what you tell them. A lot of these boys saying they this, they that. Let me see some ID. And the ID of my Lord, his ID is in his hands and in his feet. They are the scars that purchased the salvation of my soul. When I see the nail-scarred hands and the feet, I'm going to fall down and lay out and say my Redeemer lives. Until I see that, oh, no, 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 no. Everybody else are identity thieves. Every other person. Amen. Hallelujah. Jack his ID. I need to see the scars, minister. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. This same Jesus. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Listen, the Son is the creator. Okay? He's greater than angels because he's the creator. In verse 10, the writer of Hebrews says, and thou, Lord. Amen. Look, go to 9. And you're going to see where I got the anointed from. I get ahead of myself. I'm so excited, Malvo. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had what? Anointed thee. With what? With the oil of gladness. Above who? Above thy fellows. Nobody anointed like him. Verse 10. Here we go. This is our second to last point. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid what? The foundations of the earth. And what? And the heavens are the works of thine hands. He's the creator. He laid the foundation of the earth. I love that. And the heavens are the works of his hands. You got to understand what's in heaven, the angels. And if he created the heavens, then he created the angels. He's greater than them because he created them. You see, anything somebody create, they're greater than that. All right? You see, the painter is greater than the masterpiece that he paints. He really is. The builder is greater than the house that he built. You see? Why? You see? Well, the builder built this nice house and it's great. Amen. But he could build another one just like it. Hallelujah. If you had a choice to get both of them free, you would choose the builder. I'd take the builder. Because I can get more free houses from him. It's kind of like, hey, man, you have a choice between the chicken and the egg, you better take the chicken. Because the chicken going to keep laying eggs. You're going to have your egg sandwich, one egg sandwich off that one egg. You want the fish or the fishing pole? They saying they want the creature instead of the creator. No, man. In all of my examples that I was giving, like the pain and the contractor, it really, forgive me, Father, it minimizes the gap that he has. He's so much greater than the angels. It just don't make no sense. But I have to put it in these terms and in these parables just so that our mind can kind of understand it. But when we get there, we're going to see how much greater. The Bible says in the Old Testament, when we actually see the devil, amen, really, we're going to say, you was causing all that trouble? After we have perfect knowledge and see who our God is, we're going to say, you? And we were worried about you? Mm-hmm. Father, cover us with the blood. Cover us all with the blood right now. Cover us with the blood. The devil going to get mad because I'm talking about him. Cover us all with the blood. No weapon formed against us going to prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen to me good now. He's the creator, y'all. And the example I gave, I said, well, you'd rather, amen, the contractor, the builder, than the house. And some people say, well, some houses outlive contractors. And so the house must be more valuable. Well, that could be argued. But in the case of Yeshua, in the case of our God, his creation will never outlive him. And that's what Hebrews comes and says. It says, hallelujah, in verse 10, it says, thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid what? The foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Amen. Verse 11, amen. His creation never going to outlast him. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou, O Lord, art the same. And thy years shall not fail. Jesus says, come on, give God some glory. That's why Jesus says in Revelation, he said, I'm the one, hallelujah, who was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Meaning that never going to be a time he die again. Never going to be a time he die again. Alive forevermore. You know? These boys talking about their Jesus. Dying all over the place. I'm Jesus. Boy, you ain't Jesus. Jesus in a glorified body that's never going to die again. He had tasted death and now he's in eternal life. This is simple stuff, man. You see, the Son is creator. You see, hallelujah. And it's simple to us since we saved. It's simple to us since we have the Spirit of God. But people who not saved, who have not accepted Yeshua, me and Parker was talking about that, amen, today and a couple of days ago and a couple of days before that. We kept talking, amen. And we was talking about, amen, how the Bible say the veil is still on their face. Those that are still in the law and want the law, the same veil that was on Moses' face, the Bible says. When he came down and his face was shown, he had to put a veil because they didn't want to look, amen? The same veil is on him. You see? But in the new covenant, that veil is taken away. Woo! It's no half-truths, it's the fullness. We see it, amen? We're given this wisdom by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. You see? And we got to pray for him, Lord, save him. Take the veil away. This is simple stuff. We see this clearly. The new covenant is better. All right? The Son is the creator. Look at verse 9. Amen. And we done. We done. We got to get out of here. He's at the right hand. He said, I thought you said that when we talked about the prophets. I did. But it's worth saying again. Because not only being at the right hand raises him above all the prophets, being at the right hand raises him above all the angels as well. Because there is not a single angel at the right hand of majesty. There is not a single angel at the right hand of God. When you see the angels, they're on the floor bowing before him. When you see the angels, they're ministering to him, getting things and doing things and covering the eyes. And you understand what I'm saying? We get it here from verse 13. But to which of the angels, the writer of Hebrews says, those that want to pump up the angels as being better than him, to which of the angels said God at any time, sit on my right hand? Sit on my right hand. No, he ain't told no angel that. He told him, go and come and move and stay and go help this out. He never said, sit on my right hand. To which the angel, he says, sit on my right hand until what? Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God ain't never told no angel that. He never told no angel that. But he told the son that. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? And saints of God, listen, I won't take too much more of your time. We're talking about the letter to the Hebrews. And we can't get confused about this old covenant. We can't get confused about, amen, the value of our new covenant. Amen. It's better. And you got to stay in it. And you got to be planted in it. And you got to be of a heart saying, listen, I'm never going to leave this. Amen. Because it's the best thing since sliced bread. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? It is a better message because we have a better messenger. He's better than the prophets, and he's better than the angels. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much, God, for your word. We give you praise, God, for the depth of Hebrews. And Father, we pray that as we swim, that nobody drown, God. That you would give them illumination and revelation, God, that they would have complete understanding. That you would help me break this thing down to the basic, barest elements, God, that a child could sit and understand and go home and tell mama, I understand that Jesus is better than the angels. And I'm praying, God, that there's somebody here who sat through this and heard your gospel and would say in their hearts, I understand he is the son, but I want to be a son too. And I pray, God, you give them the necessary faith for them to believe in Yahshua and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So if you're here, you heard the gospel clearly, that he died so that you could be adopted. If you're not saved and you don't know where you would go if you died tonight, it's simple. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Yahshua Jesus Christ, who we just talked about for about an hour and something. Believe in him. His death, burial, resurrection. Then confess. Open your mouth. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins, but listen, I know you still love me. I make you the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. Jesus is Lord. God says amen. When you open your mouth and you confess and you believe like that, he's going to save you. I want to lead you in a prayer. The prayer has nothing in it, no magical incantations, no Alibaba, nothing like that. If you don't believe it in your heart, you're going to leave here the same way you came in. But if you press in, and you put your heart on this, God's going to save you. Say with me now, with your heart, not with your mouth, with your heart. But let it out your mouth too, but with your heart. Say, God, thank you for being real with me. I admit I'm not perfect. I've sinned against you, but I know you still love me. Lord, save me, a sinner. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were buried in the grave. And I believe you rose on the third day. Save me, Lord. Use me, Lord, and plant me in the new covenant. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. 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 You can stand to your feet. I'm going to pray this benediction over you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Peace in your body. peace in your mind, peace in your family, peace and shalom in your finances. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love you too, Ken. Lord bless you, kids. Lord bless you.